You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Yeah, baby. Oh, remember that?
Oh, a classic. Huh? Bringing it back.
Little throwback.
Okay. Wait, you know what? For old time's sake.
Yeah. You threw a retro kid on. I did a retro intro. You feel me?
So, but no, do it for real.
Okay. No. It was too much. It's too much on the throat.
Okay.
Ooh, too much on the throat.
Go back to some of the old episodes.
How many of our fans have heard that?
Not go back many. To the old episodes.
Not unless your moms are listening.
Okay. He's getting too crazy too fast. This is supposed to be a proper episode. It's an MLS Cup final preview.
We have an MLS Cup final player on.
Yeah. So shout out Julian, ignore the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
But shout out to Julian Grasso, who will be joining us shortly of the Columbus Crew to talk about how he's preparing for the MLS Cup final.
Mm.
I think most players need to prepare by joining us on the show. The ones that don't join us on the show, I don't know. Not
you
a good sign.
Ain't that prepared, bro.
You ain't that prepared. Okay?
Maybe you just don't care about MLS Cup. Maybe it's not that important to you.
We have figured it out, everybody.
Maybe you're a bigger fan of League's Cup.
So hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
As always, my name is Cristian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We out here. Exciting episode. Obviously, Julian Grasso will be joining us in a bit, but we got a lot to discuss because we have to give people a little breakdown, a little preview of what's going on, what's going to happen
right in
this MLS Cup final. That's why people tune into this show.
Bro, we put the anal in analysis, bro.
Okay. The voice you're hearing is
that's Miguel,
our producer Miguelito.
The word anal is an analysis.
Taken aback, really.
That one normally I like prepared for what Alexis was gonna say. I did not know what that was coming.
You know what? Nothing shocks me anymore. I just have
Christian
to,
is just like numb Christian's to it all. He's like, yeah,
dead
whatever.
Behind the eyes. He's doing it again.
I've done enough improv classes to go. You just gotta yes and it. You gotta yes and his ridiculousness.
Yes and it.
Anyway, we're excited to talk about this MLS Cup final, but we have to start with some unfortunate news with LAFC, one of the two remaining teams in Major League Soccer.
Daddy Garber said, "Get down from there.
Okay,
you're having too much fun."
We spoke about it the other day.
I was there.
The flares. You were in the smoke.
I was in the smoke.
You got all the smoke. Shout out
just
to
all the smoke joining
Steven
Jackson,
Metal Arc Media,
Matt Barnes joining us. They saw that the Cooligans joined Metal Arc Media.
How much fun we were having.
And they were like, "Yo, we gotta get on board, bro."
They said, did he say put anal in analysis?
this is my kind of network.
This is the home I want to be a part of. You know.
Anyway, okay, we also get unreasonably upset at Derek Fisher too, bro.
Facts, bro. I'll drive his house right now.
We're on the same team, dog.
We're on the same page.
Okay. Anyway, LAFC, they got a fine. This is of sanctions, really.
Dude, $100K.
So
real money, not gam.
Okay.
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
No.
Give me $100K right now.
$100 real dollars.
Yo.
For $100,000 real dollars for the flares. And so essentially, MLS put out this statement. It says Major League Soccer today announced sanctions against Los Angeles Football Club following serious misconduct by the LAFC fan supporter group 3252 prior to the Audi MLS Cup playoff match against Houston on December 2nd.
Serious misconduct. Hold on, Christian. Serious misconduct.
Damn, man.
You hear that, what do you think happened?
I'm saying I think about how the election was rigged.
That's right.
Bro,
you know, this is serious misconduct. What happened? Was the 3252 in contact with Russia?
Bro, we need to see the documents.
What is the serious misconduct?
Is Hunter Biden part of the 3252?
Where was his laptop? Was it anywhere near the 3252? Serious misconduct.
This is...
was the serious misconduct?
The smiles on all the faces at BMO Stadium.
Oh, I don't know. The atmosphere that you will use a photograph of to sell season tickets.
Man, it's going to be on the match day program real soon.
Wow. Some of the fans held up a stick that smoke came out of.
How
dare you?
I'll be the quote unquote bad guy here.
Dad's here.
Let's try to think of MLS's perspective and you understand safety. That's also a factor. Maybe it's more of a factor of like they don't want to get sued if something happens, something along those lines. I don't know. But when you see a $100,000 fine for LAFC, obviously that puts so much pressure on the club to be like, all right, guys, that's it. We had kind of our fun, but I think this is the end of it. But the thing that's frustrating is that this isn't the first time that either the 3252 or even other clubs have used smoke. So I don't understand why this fine seems so, so excessive. $100,000 to be like, all right, that's it. Not happening again. Do not ever even think about doing this again. It's trying to send a message. So I don't know where that sort of aggression and aggressiveness is coming from Major League Soccer.
I also just think it's like, you know, it's Herb mentality.
Herb mentality, right? Bro. Hall monitors.
Yeah, yo, facts. It's a little dusty. It makes you look dusty.
Wait, did you say bro. Herb or Herb?
Herb. H-E-R-B.
Okay,
Herb.
I'm familiar with Herb, but you know it's Herd mentality.
That's why I said okay. Herb mentality.
I thought that was a classic.
It was a play on words, bro.
Sorry. I forget you guys are comedians.
I feel like you're over-analyzing what I'm saying.
You're really not.
I'm not fitting into this.
This is what I can't do on the morning show. I feel like this is the wrong response. You know what I mean? I don't know from watching it, other than the 3-minute delay. Oh my God, 3 minutes. Right, what are we possibly going to do besides run 18 more commercials for Apple, for the Apple Plus subscription package, Apple TV Plus? Outside of the 3-minute delay, which really, again, we don't have broadcasters, so I don't think that's that big of an issue. Right, it's your network. You own the whole thing.
Well, no, I mean the game was also broadcast on Fox, so it's
yeah.
Not...
But what 3 minutes delay is nothing. They tell you the game starts today. And it really starts at like 8:17.
Whatever,
32.
But it's you chalk it up to stoppage time, right? It's not
yeah,
that
yeah.
big a deal.
That's what I mean. Yeah, it's already kind of a little bit of a wiggle room in there. Wiggle room, great name for a nightclub.
I've danced there.
Yeah. How about Giggle Room Comedy Club? Right now, all right. Now we're brainstorming. Forget the whole soccer thing.
Yeah,
let's
forget the
business.
Podcast. What are we doing?
I was like, we need to do a quarterly analysis. And they're like, Alexis, you have to stop with business people.
Well, how about the Rob Riggle Room? The comedy club owned by Rob Riggle.
Just trying to have a good bit.
Having a good time.
It wasn't a bad bit.
I'm trying to get away from the anal stuff. You know, just trying to be cute.
All right. You've heard that before. That's like someone's last post on OnlyFans. I'm trying to get away from the handle stuff. I just want to be cute. But the point I'm trying to make is, now, of course, why take me serious? But the point I'm trying to make is you as a league had a moment to sit back and say, like, wow, the reaction to this is overwhelmingly positive, obviously, besides other fans. They're like, how come we didn't get to do it? Other than that, It was kind of the pictures looked dope. The vibe was dope. The atmosphere, again, I was there. The atmosphere was great. Maybe it was an opportunity to like readjust what the rules are and be like, oh, okay, this reminds me a lot of, again, when they penalized, and I didn't make the joke, Mike, when they penalized LA Galaxy for the shooting stars meme. And now that's like encouraged. And, you know, media teams are sort of not just encouraged, but like taught how to make things a bit more viral and how to make these things and how do we get the audience engaged more. This is one of those opportunities where I feel like you dropped the ball. You reacted a little too quickly in a way that's a little too mom and dad-ish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And again, it's Herb mentality.
Yeah, I don't get, I mean, look, it's a $100,000 fine. And then also some of the specifics to the sanctions are that LAFC will be subject to league oversight related to security and supporter management processes for the 2024 season. 3252 will have all supporter privileges indefinitely suspended pending the completion of MLS and LAFC's comprehensive review. Supporter privileges for 3252 attending MLS Cup this Saturday will also be restricted. And it is just the complete like lockdown of just oversight. We're going to hold your hand through everything. We're going to make sure that you're not doing anything wrong. This also feels a little bit of like this investigation or whatever feels a little bit like trying to get people to rat on other people, like supporters. I'm like, oh, that's already like mad corny. I would have understood like for the optics of it of like, okay, we got to do the suspension because I don't know.
We're gonna fine you, but
I mean,
don't do it again.
Right. The fine should have been like $10,000, like a little slap on the wrist. Yeah. Be like, don't do it. But like,
can we go through the tape and figure out how many thousand that is per flare? Because I honestly just think it was like 15 flares.
Yeah. I mean, you were there. I guess you would have a better idea. But yeah.
You think I was counting flares? I mean, guys, can we stop the game for a second?
That's what I do for fun because I'm neurodivergent, yeah, bro. Yeah, yeah.
Everybody hold up the flares a little higher.
No, it's a... It just seems... Look, again, it seems so, so excessive, and I don't know like what the direction is because, look, we watch Bundesliga matches. We watch, Turkey Champions League.
Mike, can you Google soccer flare safety concern?
Sure.
Because What is it? Is it just because it's on
fire?
Yeah, well, not really. It's just producing smoke.
Right, yeah.
It's not fire.
It's not a flame. I mean, I've seen... I'm thinking about like the canisters that shoot the smoke.
Yeah, it's not like no one's holding up a sterno. You know, those little light up things on the bottom of a sterno, those get really hot.
I mean, I'm looking at this thing. It says that the flare can reach up to like 2000 degrees, like the edge of it. So I guess the concern is that just like if it's in like with a bunch of people, if someone even touches it, they could get seriously injured. I have no idea.
Yeah. I feel like if it's okay for paintball, it should be okay. That's where they come from. They're paintball things.
Okay.
Yeah, you light a flare.
I mean, I also think of like a roadside emergency. Those flares.
Those aren't the flares you hold up.
Why not?
You don't hold up the pull over and help you with a flat flare. I don't even think that produces smoke.
It does produce smoke.
Yeah, but not like not that. That's a smoke flare.
I'm not on top of flare technology. I don't know how it works.
You don't go to flares. Up a big flare.
Yeah. This kid's holding up an incense.
It's like, smells good, no? Yeah.
It was my rosemary.
Yeah, is that sandalwood? We're trying to set an intimidating atmosphere, not get people to relax.
It's just lavender and BMO. Right,
he's got
now.
The little skateboard sticky thing they put it on, holding it up the whole thing.
The Seattle Sounders will be threatened by my supporter antics.
He's like, by the way, guys, I'm selling crystals after the match. Everyone's cool with it.
Okay.
I'm doing the halftime show. It's a hacky sack competition.
These are crystals for ultras.
Yeah.
Exclusively. So look. It's
crystals for ultras. It's awesome. I can't wait.
Bro, I'm going to start doing infomercials.
As seen on TV, bro.
So it's unfortunate because it sort of forces us to ask sort of the questions about... what do we want MLS supporter culture to look like? How much freedom do we want the fans to have?
But also, do we have to keep fighting MLS to try to make them cooler? It's like, bro, I mean, you know what the blueprint is, dog.
Yeah, the fans are showing you what's cool. And you're like, nah, don't be cool.
It's like a divorced dad who's going on their first date and refuses to wear the jeans their teenage kids are telling him to. It's like, you can't wear, God, stop tucking your shirt in. You know?
So fascinating.
We're never going to get a mom this way, dude.
Dad, you're scaring the hoes.
Yeah, nah. Yo, your Riz game on zero, dad. That's MLS, bro.
That's MLS got no Riz.
No.
I hate to say it, but.
You're Rizless, dog. Rizless in Seattle. That's the name of the movie they're going to make about you, bro.
Don Garber. Rizless in
Seattle.
We're
just trying to help.
Bro.
We're trying to help.
We're trying to get your fingers wet. You feel me?
Man, bro. That's when we know. This is where the part of the clip we cut off. We don't show that part.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's just on the episode, bro. You got to realize. Really?
Add a little B-roll to that.
Don't show the hand movements. We don't need it. It doesn't help the imagery. Yeah.
Shouts to everyone who sees British people throwing the middle finger up and go, hey, all right. Two fingers up like that, huh?
So, all right. We'll get to Julian in a moment.
Kid says, I want my dad to get his fingers up? That is disgusting. You guys are right.
Very bad, yes. Let's just real quick before we chat with Julian Gressel of the Columbus Crew.
Let's do something to cleanse the palate.
Yeah. let's talk some Premier League real quick because there were some wild results. Mainly, Manchester City, we're used to just seeing them absolutely dominate the Premier League, just dominate Europe.
We're used to them only giving up the ball after they've scored. That's right, the other time the other team gets a carry. Back to the center
circle.
We'll
let you have it after we put it behind your goalkeeper.
You carry it, but then give it back to us as soon as the whistle blows.
But Manchester City are falling off, bro. I don't know what's going on because they just lost. Obviously they drew to Tottenham over the weekend, and then they played midweek against Aston Villa, which in these midweek matches, only what, 3-4 days off?
Mm-hmm.
You can understand, like, they're not gonna, may not dominate, but it's City. And then when it comes to who they have on the bench and the depth, you're not particularly worried. But Manchester City against Aston Villa yesterday was arguably the worst game I've seen Manchester City play in probably about 5 years.
So the running joke is for this match, this is what happens when Manchester City starts six defenders. That's like the running joke I keep hearing. And if you want to pull up their lineup,
mm-hmm.
I see five.
So yeah, obviously
their back line is three. Gvardiol, yes, and Kyle Walker in front of them in midfield. Remember, we were giving him so much credit, Pep Guardiola. It's like, bro, he makes John Stones run in as a center back, and he's just as good a midfielder. Well, he started him in the midfield,
yeah,
and then he put a Kanji in there. I guess Rico Lewis would be your
other
defender.
Yeah, they're counting Rico Lewis as a defender.
This did not work.
It did not work at all. John Stones also looked bad, right? He made a couple mistakes, lost the ball in kind of bad areas.
So this is the Trent Alexander conundrum, okay? Trent Alexander is a okay defender, but an amazing midfielder.
Right.
When he starts as a defender and then runs in the midfield, and everyone's like, wait, who's supposed to cover him up here? Because
mm-hmm.
now you have space. But when you already, it's like, when someone's like, bro, you're so funny, you should be a comedian. Hey, I'm the funny one. I should be a comedian. Go ahead, get on stage.
Let's do it.
Let's see how that works. Now you're alone. You got the microphone. All spotlight's on you.
Mm-hmm.
Not so easy anymore, is it there? Funny guy by the copy machine. Right? That's the conundrum. John Stones, hilarious on that back line. Oh, man. Sometimes he runs up. He says the wildest things at lunch. But then he stepped up to the plate, got on stage at the midfield, and was like, skirt. Whoa.
Well,
you suck.
I wonder why. I mean, I don't know if Stones has been dealing with any injuries. He hasn't played that much this season.
Yeah.
As far as the center back pairings or, whatever the rotation is, it's usually Akanji, Nathan Ake.
Nathan Ake was severely missed in this game.
Yeah.
Diaz and Gvardiol are the other two. So I feel like John Stones doesn't even really have a spot left.
He's
in
like
that
kind
rotation.
Of, yeah, he's a little bit kind of odd man out.
Meanwhile, this guy was super essential in the Champions League.
Yeah. Without a doubt. And also, former Everton legend, John Stones.
That's what I think everyone remembers him for.
Not going to remember him for the treble. They will remember him for his time at Everton.
I saw him play in Istanbul, and the whole time I'm like, man, he was good at everything.
Okay.
We should stop the game and talk about this.
But the
I want to give you a little tidbit here, a little nugget.
Go for it.
Aston Villa had 20 more shots than Man City in the win last night,
that's
which
remarkable.
Is crazy. Right? 22, mm-hmm. City 2. That's the most that a Pep Guardiola team have been outshot by in a match in the Big Five European Leagues. I'm pretty sure that's as manager and player. 535 games straight.
Yeah.
Not been outshot by 20 goals. And I think the time he did was when he played for Dorados in Mexico. I honestly do believe that's when the last one was. Aston Villa have won 10 of the last 15 in the Premier League this season. Their most victories at this stage of a league campaign since 1980-1981 season when they won their title. Bro, this is a first of all, Unai Emery is doing an incredible job. Absolutely incredible job. They are amazing at home. They've won 15 straight at home.
That's
the last
wild.
Time they lost at home? Arsenal. Who do they play next? Arsenal. Time to start that clock again, boys.
Okay. I mean, if you look at the shot map for...
If this was in black and white, you'd assume it was in reverse, no?
I don't know.
Was Aston Villa almost relegated like two seasons ago?
This is so crazy. I mean, like I said, I think this is the worst game Manchester City have played in a very, very long time. They looked like a championship club playing a Premier League club. They couldn't maintain possession. They couldn't really figure anything out going forward. I honestly could not believe just the mistakes being made. I thought the changes,
the subs were crazy. I'm like, these are regens. I've never heard these mans before, bro.
I think it was look, because of the WA game that had against Tottenham. You mm-hmm. could imagine maybe there's a fatigue issue. That's my first thought. I'm like, I couldn't figure out why they just looked so uncoordinated.
Uncoordinated is great, like lacking ideas. They were unsure. I mean, also, what's my guy's name again? McGinn.
John McGinn.
Wow.
I thought I was...
That was team of the season, McGinn. I think that's who came out the locker
was,
room.
That was McMessy, bro.
Bro, facts, bro.
My man, I couldn't... I mean, I know he's good. He's good on the ball, but
Cristiano McNaldo came out on that left wing, bro.
McGinn, I love the way he plays. He has a very unorthodox style of dribbling. He kind of like... When he has the ball...
And he uses that cake.
He uses the cake?
He uses the cake to get the plays over.
The shoulders. But he does a thing. There's something... When is Aaron McGinn? What's his first name?
John.
No, John. John McGinn. John. When he has the ball, he does a little bit of a thing of like... He looks like a paranoid... Like, he looks like... Like Gollum from...
He hunches.
He's like, yeah. Whoa, no, this ball is mine.
He goes goblin mode.
This ball is mine. Nobody's touching this ball. Like, whatever. He gets like... There's just something where people cannot figure out why
he does the scared cat thing with his back. You know what I mean?
Like
Yeah.
Dude, it's just like it's fascinating. But but he's like such a technical dribbler in small spaces, but with the hunch, and he's just like,
he also
no.
like is not that fast, but he's like wily.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like he gets out of there's like three defenders. You know those cartoons where like everyone fights and the guy who started the fight just crawls out of the smoke, but the smoke is still going. That's what happens
to him, bro.
Three Manchester City players are hacking at each other, and McGinn's not even there anymore.
He's like, I don't know what they're doing over there. I'm passing it to Leon Bailey.
I'd be embarrassed. And Leon Bailey down the clock back, bro.
Dude, I mean, look, there was
you look like M. Da R out there.
My man, two reggae legends.
Yo, shout, yo. Bailey says, yo, play the rhythm, bro.
Because even Bailey, there were a couple moments in the game where I'm like, yo, dude, this time to pass. You should pass this one.
Well, look, he's very selfish. Even on his goal, I'm like, you know he ain't going to pass. This.
Right,
but,
right.
Hey, the deflection certainly helped, but it was still on frame, so that should have counted as a goal, right?
It did.
His goal. Ollie Watkins also doing a good job of agitating Manchester City players, getting under their skin.
Douglas Luiz was doing the same thing.
Bro, I watched this game. If Douglas Luiz had a finished product, if he could actually score, oh my God. I know he's like on the list for Arsenal. Arsenal are rumored to be very hot on the trail for Douglas Luiz. This guy looks like a baller. Mm-hmm. I mean, he in those moments where everyone else is playing up to his level, really, I mean, it's absolutely incredible. He reminded me, the whole team, really, but there were moments. Who's the dude? Kamara looked good.
Yep.
Who's the other dude?
Yuri Tielemans.
Yo, Tielemans. Oh my God. This dude, I was like, bro, he doesn't get that many starts either, right? The beginning
of
this.
He hasn't been playing that much.
He has been balling out, though. I was shocked because, you know, like the home crowd sometimes can carry momentum. The one team, I'm an Arsenal supporter, but still the one team you would pick to be like, you could diffuse a spirited home crowd that's mm-hmm. willing their team to play better is Manchester City, and they could not. Yeah. Villa Park is an absolute fortress.
Well, when you look at the sub, I was also kind of confused about the subs because I didn't know.
Because you never heard of Oscar Bob? No one's ever heard of Oscar Bob.
Bob is just definitely.
You're like, it's two guys?
But Mateus Nunes and Mateo Kovacic.
Kovacic.
And then, but you wonder, I'm like, why didn't Grealish play? And I was like, oh.
He had the suspension.
He has a suspension. Rodri didn't play. I think that was the third. And then Jeremy Doku. Mm-hmm. I was also wondering, like, why didn't he was dealing with an injury.
And De Bruyne is, I think, just started training, if I'm not mistaken.
So when you look at these players on the bench, I'm like, Pep only made three subs. Mm-hmm. And it's like, nobody else was going to make a difference in this game. Just
no. But I will say, bro, Calvin Phillips still can't get minutes.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
What a shame. Yeah, they have to put 42 defenders before they're going to put Calvin Phillips in the game. Midfield. It's crazy.
They're like, yo, Calvin, do me a favor. Sit down. Listen, we got one of the grounds crew guys. Now, I just don't want, he's his first time. I don't want you getting in his way.
Don't be offended. Yeah. My man, he's putting the work.
Wow. You're upset? Wow. We'll let his family know, Calvin.
So that's kind of a wild scenario, and I don't think we've seen that in a while with Manchester City, where their depth. I mean, like, it's just nobody could have changed this game at all. No. And they, but that's really it.
They were played off the pitch.
They could not. So unfortunate, but now we're in a weird spot where Manchester City is like dropping all these points. Everybody, you know, Arsenal confident, but then it's like, all right.
Don't scroll up. Hold on. Don't scroll up. I want you to guess how many points. Remember how bad a season Manchester United is having?
Yes.
How many points away from City do you think they are right now?
Oh, I think they're only 1 point or 2 points.
3 points.
Three points. Okay. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think somebody was making that point on Twitter. They're basically saying, like, Man United and Tottenham are Tottenham points, but Man United are having... It's like the team, the club is finished and having a terrible season. And Tottenham,
like, what a wonderful
story. What a great club. They're back and forth. And it's like they're tied on points.
Yeah.
So, So it's kind of wild where now it feels like Manchester City is not going to be the threat at the end of the season. It might end up being Arsenal or Liverpool.
I was going to say, they've got you right where they want you right now.
But as soon as those charges dropped last season, they went undefeated.
Interesting.
Maybe this is all, like, you know, head games by Pep Guardiola to create a little bit of an underdog story.
Adversity.
Mm. Yeah. He's like, you know what I'll do? I'll start 8 defenders, see what happens. Guess what? John Stones, you're in goal. Best of luck.
There's a lot of defenders on there, bro. It's kind of wild.
Was this the worst uniform matchup, though, in the history of the Premier League?
No, bro, I couldn't stand it.
Oh, because of the swap?
Why was City wearing red and white?
They're wearing the Burgundy. Burgundy and cream.
I guess they can wear their home kit.
Because, yeah, the home kit matches. Aston Villa has blue on it.
But I just turned
white shorts.
I turned on the game. I was like, who is who? Like, I literally did not know.
It was frustrating. Like, when that happens on, like, one of those, like, whatever, on FIFA, when you're playing someone else on the internet and it starts, you just rage quit. You're like,
there has to be some alternative. I don't understand why the shorts match the shirts for Aston Villa.
No, it was frustrating.
It was bad.
You know what? I've never figured out how they did this. Well, I used to play a lot FIFA, and I would play Palmeiras, who just won the Brazilian league, by the way. At halftime, they'd switch shirts. They'd get a different shirt.
In FIFA or in real life?
In FIFA.
What?
At halftime, they would change their shirts.
Can anybody corroborate that?
I play a lot of FIFA.
Never heard of this ever.
I could not figure it out. I Googled it. I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they did it. But only Palmeiras, every time I played them, they would swap shirts. They would change their shirts at halftime.
I think it was just to make you mad, bro.
It works. Never. Congratulations, EAFC. Is it still in there?
I hope you fix that glitch, because that seems like a problem. All right. Let's get to...
If someone can figure that out, please let me know.
Let's talk to Julian Gressel about this MLS.
Maybe he knows.
Maybe he knows what's going on with Palmeiras in FIFA. Always a reminder, before we get Julian on here, you got to make sure you chill during these holidays.
Chill.
There's nothing more important. I mean, when you think of chilling, you think of the Cooligans, okay?
Yeah, how about this? We're about to have an interview with Julian Gressel. Why don't you open up a nice can of Coors Light, sit back, and just relax and chill? Because it's like the holidays. You
exactly.
know? You're running around, this is a moment to just kick back and relax.
As you are, you're drinking an ice cold Coors Light, as you're looking at the 2024 MLS match ball, okay?
Yeah, we got the new ball up there.
Right on top of the...
How do we have it? great question. We're not answering.
Okay. You're asking too many questions.
What are you, a cop?
Are you a detective of some kind? You're asking.
In fact, you need to chill with these questions, bro. Your questions need to open up a crisp, cold course.
That
light.
Is not, questions are not what the holidays are about.
No,
okay?
No. Remember how your family makes you feel sometimes during the holidays? That's what you're doing to us. You got to calm down and just get one of those cool Coors Lights. It's cold lager, cold filtered, package.
That's the move. It tastes crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. All right. All right. So make time to chill this holiday season and reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
That was CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Let's go. All right. Let's talk to Julian Gressel of the Columbus Crew. It is media day out in Columbus. Everybody's chatting with everybody. Mm. It's like, you know, the press junket.
Yeah, dude. Media row.
So shout out to Julian Gressel for joining us. So here it is, our conversation with Julian Gressel.
Now, would you look at this?
Bro, you know, one of the homies is playing the MLS Cup final. We got to be like, so I immediately had to be like, yo,
bro,
come through.
Yeah, this happens so often. All of our friends just play an MLS Cup final. And we're like, wow, all of you? No, this is great. We once opened a comedy festival with this man on stage with
us. And, you
know,
if I remember correctly, that same year, he won MLS Cup.
Bruh, are you saying it's us? Maybe.
So we figure we, you know, try to continue pushing that good luck his way.
You're wearing the kit from the Columbus Crew. Ladies and gentlemen, a good friend of ours, Julian Gressel, everybody.
Julian, what's up, man?
What's up, guys? Good to see you. Obviously very happy to be on the show again. And what a better week, right?
So much has changed. Last time you were on the show, you were at Atlanta. You had your girl at the...
It's been a lot. The last time you were on the show, you were at DC United.
That's right. He's been on the show before.
And then after that, in that time, you also wore a Vancouver Whitecap.
But remember the first time, it was a girlfriend. Now the guy's got a wife, a kid. You're in Columbus.
Two kids.
Oh, my God. I'm already nervous.
I only have one, so I got to keep up with
Julian. I still got none, baby.
So a lot has changed in all this time. So, I mean, this is where we'll start. Obviously, another MLS Cup final for you, which is so exciting. But the fact that getting to this one was a little different than the last one. So how are you feeling being a Columbus Crew player and helping this team get to another MLS Cup final?
I feel good. You know, this is a good week to be still playing. It's cold outside here in Columbus. So you get to put a hat and gloves on every week. It's nice to have that feeling to be one of two teams left, you know, and coming in. Obviously, I joined the club mid-season. It's never easy to just step into a club, into a team like that mid-year, especially a good team that was already a good team. And this was the goal. You know, this was what I envisioned. This was what we tried to do to be playing now and for me to be able to help the team. And not just in the past week or in the past game, but also throughout the last couple months is exactly what we intended to do, what I intended to do. So. It's just a special feeling, and obviously I'm very excited for this weekend.
I'm curious, just getting to this MLS Cup final, being a player that arrives mid-season, and then also being a player that has, you know, we've known you for a while. We know you speak pretty publicly about MLS and how trades work and how unexpected they can be sometimes. Having to uproot your family, but being you're a veteran of this league now, and arriving at a club mid-season, but you're also bringing that veteran experience and MLS Cup experience. Is that a little bit different than just kind of any old player that arrives at a club?
Yeah, I mean, I've been through it, right? So even mid-season trade, I think the past year I was part of that one, or during the season I got traded as well. So I knew what it kind of entails, right, of how much it is on the family, how much it is on you personally, trying to jump into a new team, new club, get up to speed or try and get up to speed really quickly. I've been through a lot. You know, I've been through a lot of my career. That also means that I'm getting older. but no, it's something that, Yeah, we talked to some young guys this week, you know, leading up to the big games in the playoffs. You know, whatever the kind of group requires, I feel like I have a pretty good sense for that by now. And, you know, this was a really good team when I first joined, and a really good coaching staff as well that understands a lot of kind of what it takes to win. And that's why it was an easy transition. You know, it made it easy for me. The guys were open and all those types of things. And that's what makes it easy. So certainly a special week to kind of knowing that I've been through it as well. It's kind of like, for me, it's like, okay, here's a lot of media all of a sudden and a lot of interview requests and all those types of things. But I kind of have been through it. And I'm much more relaxed than I certainly was in 2018.
Well, that's amazing. Nah. You said no to everyone else, and you're like, I'm only going to be on the Kool-Aid.
Sorry, if your name ain't Kool-Aid, you're not going to reach out all week. I do want to ask, you mentioned coaching staff. I had the luxury or the honor of interviewing Wilfred Nancy. And what I got from that is that he is so warm and soft-spoken that I felt like he was talking directly to me the whole time. And I was like, dude, are you my dad now? Is that how this works? Talk to me about what it's like to be coached by him, especially when you're coming in half the season. There's obviously a big adjustment. You've had a couple different managers. What's it like? How does he react when you do something unexpected, i.e. not what he wanted? And how is he directing you into the MLS Cup? Is he detail, like every single detail? Is he just let you be free? Is he arm around the shoulder kind of? What exactly does he do? Like, talk to me a little more about Wilfred Nancy.
I think he's a little bit of everything, to be honest with you. He has a very good sense for the emotional side of a player, how different players might feel in different situations, how the team needs, what the team needs. I think he has a very good understanding of the whole picture that, you know, yeah, this is a very special week for all of us. We have a ton of ticket requests, you know, families flying in from all over the world. We have a lot of international players and all, and it's special, you know, and he doesn't shy away from that. He doesn't shut us off in a sense where now we have to go in hotels and all those things where he like, no, guys, embrace it. You deserve it. You're champions of the Eastern Conference. You know, with what you've achieved, you deserve to have that type of attention and that type of love from all your loved ones. And these people support you throughout the whole year, for example, you know, so embrace it. But at the same time, you guys are adults, and I trust that you're still going to get ready for the game and be up for it. But in terms of training this week, it's been similar to all the other weeks. Nothing too special in terms of preparation. Yeah, a little bit more detail oriented, but that's normal. You know, I think it's a big game, so you want to have a little bit more of that stuff in terms of tactics and tendencies from the other team and all those types of things. But again, he has a very good feel for what each individual player needs, what the team needs, and of understanding the situation, understanding the circumstances, but at the same time enjoying the moment. And Wilfred's been, he's surprised me a lot when I first came here. I didn't know much, obviously, about him, but he's been a very, a coach that I've learned a ton from on the field, but also off the field, of how compassionate and how caring he is on a human level.
You know how, like, you're German, right? You know how, like, everything Germans say sound like you're getting yelled at? Right, he's French. Everything he says sounds like smooth. You know what I mean? Is this guy a jazz
French
musician?
English accent is amazing. I love that too. Yeah,
it's so good. It just, the words glide.
Yeah,
out of his mouth.
I mean, there is a sense that he has a lot of faith and trust in his players. I mean, we saw in the game against Cincinnati, and that Hell is Real derby, where you guys are down 2-0. And, you know,
cool as a cucumber on the sideline.
Well, everybody's still playing calm and comfortably on the ball. I'm curious what halftime was like in that game as far as the inspiration, because that second half, you know, and you can also talk about this because, you know, you didn't start that game. And I wonder what it's like as a player. You know, every player wants to start in matches and be a big influence in the game. But you were a big influence in the game in that second half coming off the bench.
I appreciate that. But it was a halftime that he was pretty calm, to be honest with you, because he knew that we were the better team, playing better soccer, had more chances, were close to scoring. That's what he said, that he felt like we were close to scoring and that we should just continue. And then that we, you know, yeah, had a couple moments that they took advantage of. One was a set piece. The other one was, a turnover and a counterattack. And, you know, then you find yourself 2-0 down. But at the same time, we knew that, or he said that if we can get the first goal, by the way we were playing, that we're going to get other chances and we're going to continue to keep getting opportunities. So just believe in that and trust kind of the process of the game and say that, and he said that it's a long game at the end of the day. And it was, you know. And, in terms of a mindset, for me, coming off the bench, obviously, you know, things aren't going the right way. You think that when you come in or you're hoping that you can come in and make an impact. So you just try and see of where you can have that impact and what you can do to help the team when you do get a chance to step on the field. And, that's something that obviously worked in the Eastern Conference Final there, where me and Chris were able to come in and kind of change the game a little bit and, help us get to an MLS Cup Final. And that's obviously a very, very good feeling of overcoming the disappointment of not playing at first and then still being able to make an impact. You know, I think that kind of speaks to the group that we have, where even Kevin Molino comes in with, 10 minutes left and has an amazing assist or secondary assist to the last goal. You know, those types of things you need in order to win MLS Cup, and that's why we're in this position, because of the contribution from everybody.
In that second half, after that first goal, I mean, obviously it was an own goal, but it was the pass. You started did you guys like smell blood in the water? Like, what was going on? Because there was such an aggression and urgency playing away from home, playing at TQL, playing in a derby, but it seemed like the stamina ran out of the Cincinnati players, and Columbus stole that and took the energy that should have been provided by playing at home, because it was kind of remarkable to see just a tale of sort of two halves.
Yeah, no, I think we definitely sensed that. We definitely sensed that they were getting maybe a bit more tired and they didn't have the energy that we had. And I think we were on top of the game almost the whole game. And when you kind of continue to attack, and then when you finally find the breakthrough, you're like, all right, let's, we just got to keep believing and keep continuing of what we were doing. And, that came in the 72nd or something minute. Yeah. It could have come in the 48th and we would have still continued to play our way. And that's, I think, what I have to give the guys credit to, of continuing to push and not giving up. You know, there were some heads down at halftime, I'm not going to lie. You know, there were some disappointments. There's some guys that were like, oh, man, this could be it, you know. And but at the same time, you find a way. Guys stepped up again to find a way to push through adversity like that is not easy to do, especially away from home without the real support of the whole stadium. And but it's definitely just something that we pride ourselves in, to continue and push through difficult moments to still play the way we know how to play. And that's, I think, something that showed, especially in that second half, where once we got the first one, we definitely smelled blood in the water and we're like, all right, you know, we can get the second one. And once we scored the second one, to be honest with you, I thought we were going to score a third time, right, in normal time. It took a little bit longer, but ultimately, you know, we got there, and now we're in this position.
It's incredible. In fact, I'm watching how you guys sort of just continue to run and run and run, and you would not run out of energy. Well, obviously, Cincinnati was starting to get gassed. I'm thinking, how does this team prepare? You know, what is it that you do? Do you do the same thing? Is it the same meal before every game? Are you like chicken and rice and Brussels sprouts or something? Or is it schnitzel? What do you do? And MLS Cup. What do you do different?
You try not to do too much different, to be honest. I think it's, pretty much the same every time. On the road is a bit different than at home, obviously. I don't eat meat, only fish. So on game days, I'm actually a vegetarian, basically. So a lot of beans and rice for me on game days.
Oh, yeah, hey, bro. Okay. Julian Gressel's Latino now. Yeah, I don't know if everybody heard the news, heard the update. The new OS has dropped. Okay.
Welcome aboard.
Okay. Okay, Julian.
Julian Gressel.
Gressel. Okay, no, beans and rice. We gotta get you on mofongo.
I would love
not
to
before have, a game, by the way. It's gonna destroy
I would love
you.
To have a traditional Dominican dish with Julian Gressel.
A little mango.
When you are in New York, Julian, it's a date. We're going Let's out to it. A Dominican restaurant.
All fried
plantains.
We can
do another live
baby.
Show. And we can do
yes,
another live
we gotta
show.
Do another live
Happy
show.
Happy to. All
the
right.
live show is just you eating arroz con gandules, bro.
It's just a Julian Gressel mukbang.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're gonna have a bunch of Latinas standing around. You go, mira. Mira lo está comiendo todo.
The MLS Cup final against LAFC. You know, we gave our predictions and thoughts. I think LAFC are just such a strong defensive team.
I picked you, by the way. I picked Columbus.
So my worry is that Columbus is going to have a tough time scoring against LAFC. They have not given up many goals in the playoffs. But what's the mentality and the preparation? Are you focused on any particular players? Or, you know, we've seen the Buonga, we've seen the Velas, Chiellini.
You can't give this up before
no,
the
no,
game.
No, not the strategy. I'm just saying.
Show us the whiteboard. Julian, you're our cousin now.
What's
no.
the mentality going into playing against against LAFC? You know,
the mentality is staying the same for us, to be honest, than what it has been, and that is focusing on the performance that we put together on the field as a team, individually, yes, and as a team. And I think we've done pretty well all year when we were at our best. And that is something that I think we want to try and do again, obviously, on Saturday with the fans in our back. I think we are very good at unbalancing teams, finding ways to create, you know, time edges to then create scoring opportunities. I don't think there have been many games where we've been shut out. So I think we know that if we play the way we know how to play, that we can get chances and we can unbalance them defensively and ask some serious questions of them. In the back, but at the same time, like you're saying, you have to be aware of their front, you know, 3, 5, 6, whatever it is, and those guys are as dangerous as they get in this league, and as experienced as they get as well, you know, and obviously Carlos Vela and who, you know, you name all of them, and they've done it, and it's certainly going to be a big task for us, you know, to kind of stop them and limit their chances, limit their space. Whenever they can get out on the run, you know, it can get really tricky, and then you can be on the wrong side of a Buonga not too many times in order to not concede. So he's very, very good player, obviously very dangerous, very direct, and is ruthless. You know, I think that probably describes him very well in general, where they don't need many chances to score a goal, and like we saw against Cincinnati, you know we can find ourselves down a couple of goals, but there's also times where you might not come back all the time, even if you're playing well. Obviously, so we don't want to have that happen again, you know. So, yeah, I think it's a very intriguing matchup, but a matchup of a little bit of different tactical setups. So I think it'll be a really good game to kind of watch and a really exciting one where a lot of good quality players are on the field, and you know, a lot of guys can make the difference in those instances, in those big games. And we just hope that, you know, we can make one more play than them. And, yeah. You know.
Well, Columbus, if I'm not mistaken, has the most goals goals in MLS this season. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was going to ask that. The first time you walked into training and you saw the tactical setup, were you like, are we sending everybody forward? I mean, the grounds crew is surrounding the opponent's box. You're sending everyone forward. Even you know, in the midfield, where you're like, bro, this is bananas. We're overloads everywhere. Did it take you a minute to adjust, or does that make it more exciting for you?
It makes it exciting, but if you actually go into kind of the details of it a little bit, you kind of see of how balanced it still is. You know, I think we see defending in a way where you also defend while having the ball. And if you have the ball in the right if you have possession at the right times and in the right space, then, you know, it makes the defending part really easy. So, for example, if we, you know, keep going back and forth all the time, that's not really our game. We need to kind of have control over the ball, possess the ball in the opponent's half for our defense to set up so that then, one, we can win the ball right back again if we end up losing it, or that we limit their space in order to have a clean, you know, kind of transition moment or aren't able to play out easily again once we lose the ball. So there's still you know, there's still a balance to this all, and it's not just, you know, go and attack and have fun, do whatever you want.
It's, right. Wilfred Nancy's not irresponsible.
No, but this is what I'm saying. Julio Gressel said it. He said, you got to defend while having the ball. This is what I tell my wife. Hey, just because I'm taking a nap doesn't mean I'm not thinking about the stuff I'm supposed to do.
Okay.
I'm you know what I mean?
I'm not thinking about the romantic date we're about to have 100%. In about 3-4 weeks.
I'm preparing. I'm defending while attacking. You know?
Well put. You know, we have a couple quick questions from fans, and I'll get to that in a second. I just want to mention this because it must be, and we've seen this throughout your entire career, and we've never really spoken about this specifically, but you are a phenomenal passer. Right. And this is something I think it's a big reason why you are part of the U.S. men's national team now, which again, congrats. That's been awesome to see. But you are just such a remarkable passer and can pick out people anywhere in the box. What is this part of the game where did this exactly sort of come from? And the inspiration to be this type of player, to be so good at this? Because again, as soon as you came into the game against Cincinnati, there was just something different. As soon as the ball was at your feet and you were sending balls into the box, it was like, okay, this is something's about to happen.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thanks for all the kind words. But it's something that kind of just developed over the years in Atlanta, I think, you know. And when I started playing as a right wing back, obviously I played under Tata Martino, I had a lot of freedom there. With strikers like Joseph and Miggy Almiron to kind of play together with and off of. And, you know, the attention was so much on them where every time I had a little bit of space, then I was able to pick out a pass quite easily. And these guys make great runs, and I was able to, you know, kind of deliver the right ball at the right time. And, passing is probably and picking out the right players is probably one of the strongest things in my game. And that's just something that you also have to work on, you know, and I did the work. I tried to, you know, work on different scenarios, different movements, different types of crosses, different types of passes into the final third and all those things. You know, nothing just comes from nothing, you know. You're not just going to get thrown in front of TV and be good, you know. You have to
like
you guys did, and then you work
that's
your way.
That's not good advice for me.
You did the work too, so you know, it's things
bro,
like that.
We're the definition of failing upwards, yeah, Julian.
I just outlasted
you guys gotta give yourself more credit than that, come on.
Build because everyone else fell apart.
Amazing. No, it's been awesome to see that, and then doing that or wearing a U.S. shirt has been dope as well. But we have some questions from Gully Squad. This is which is our supporters group. I know Columbus has the Nordic, but we got some love here. This is from someone you may remember from the old Z Soccer Pod. Douglas Reyes Cerón has a question. He says he's your old producer. He says, how are you helping other Columbus players in the locker room prep for the game as one of the few in there who's already played in an MLS Cup final before?
I honestly try and keep him relaxed about it all, mostly. You know, some guys have come up to me, asked me about LAFC because I've played obviously against them a couple times already with Vancouver this year. And you know, some guys, you can sense that it's a special week for them, so you just try and, you know, not make it bigger than it is. It is pretty big, but at the same time, it's still a 90-minute game, and you try and get those guys to relax as much as possible. But we actually have a lot of guys that have been in this situation and have played in really big games and have won some MLS Cups, so it's not just me who does the talking there, but it's trying to feel out what every player needs, and either one guy, either try and get on him a little bit of try and be like, hey, this is big, or the other guy try and like relax him a little bit and be like, hey, you know, it's just a 90-minute game. Let's just go out there, do what we do best, and then play our game.
Nice. This question is from Robin Zagini. She's obviously a big Atlanta fan. She wants to know, do you miss us in Atlanta? And of course, I think you do. But I want you to expand on that a little bit. And you mentioned Miguel Almirón and Joseph Martinez. What do you think you took from their game that you watched in training, that you saw them develop? Because obviously, especially Miguel Almirón continuing to have a stellar career. What do you think you took from them and that you saw in training?
Oh, man. I mean, I wish I had their natural abilities to do what they do. You know, it's tough to kind of take those. It was honestly, for Miggy, it was his work ethic and his kind of relentlessness off the field as well, where there would be times where I would walk into the facility and he'd be in the gym already working. And I'm just walking in, you know, and to see that from, yeah, probably your best player at that time was amazing to see, and kind of how he wanted that success that he has now in the Champions League and in England. You know, how bad he wanted that, and that drive was always there for him. And for Joseph, it was probably his emotional leadership, the way he was so high demanding from all the guys, but at the same time so like loving and caring. But he would, you know, every time he would step on the field, it would be a different type of person. And to have that kind of drive and to have that kind of, just emotional leadership out there. Every time we didn't have him on the field, for example, if he was hurt or suspended or whatever, there was a difference in our team. And you could sense that and you could feel that. And we were always a little bit flat. So he kind of raised the level for everybody. And I think to have that was super important, and I try to take some from that away and try and be like that at times, and, you know, not stepping out of my skin, obviously, at the end of the day, but still, you know, taking those types of things away. And of course, I miss Atlanta. It was an amazing time, and you know, I look back at all those memories that I have there with very fond eyes, and always put the smile on my face going back, thinking back, and all that. So hi, Robin.
Right. Nice. I also have a feeling that's where the rice, the arroz con frijoles came from. Yeah. Maybe some of your time with Miggy and Joseph, you know what I mean?
Well, I would have guessed it might have been like Joseph Martinez's like squat workout routine, because my man could jump higher than almost anybody in MLS. So it's a nice person to send passes to, you know, inside the box. Yep. This is the last question. This is from MJ Lee. She asked, what's the best part about playing for the U.S. men's national team? And also, what's the worst part? This is kind of a tough question, but, you know, I'm curious because we spoke to you in the live show we did in 2018. And
we brought up the opportunity to play for America. We brought it up. The crowd went crazy.
You married an American woman. We were like, hey, dude, like, you know, maybe you play for the U.S. one day. You were like, oh, I don't know, Germany. I'm from Germany and blah, blah, blah. But now that's it. Repping the red,
stars
white,
and stripes,
blue.
Bro. Let's go.
Let's go. So it must be just a really awesome experience. But now getting international caps and playing for the USMNT, what's that feeling been like so far?
It's been an incredible honor. And I think that's the biggest thing, to wear, like, I said it, I think, to my wife and some other friends and my family, that even putting on the practice jersey with the U.S. logo on it is so special. When you know that, like, so many soccer players in this country that try and do that, and then you're able to be selected to do that. And, you know, it's just a tremendous honor to be able to represent this country that I've been in, lived in now for 10-plus years, and I call my home. And that's probably the best part of kind of just having that feeling of a bigger sense than, like, you have so much more to play for, in a sense, right? You know, the worst part, there isn't really a worst part, you know, that it's all fun and it's really exciting, and it's, you know,
when you don't get called up, that's the worst part.
Yeah,
that's,
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Or, you know, being away from the family. I guess that, you know, if I had to pick one, but you make that sacrifice is nothing compared to, to other things, what other families do in this country. And this is something, being able to represent the U.S. and playing for the U.S. men's national team is a huge, huge thing for me, and makes me really proud of kind of what I've done in this career and how far I've taken this this thing, to be honest with you.
It's amazing,
it's
dude.
It's beautiful to watch. I'm
incredibly proud of you. Happy for you. Dude, best of luck this Saturday. MLS Thank Cup you. Final, 4 p.m. Eastern time.
Can't wait to watch, dude.
Columbus Crew against LAFC is going to be super, super cool. Julian Gresso, seriously.
Julio Gresso.
we are friends. We are fans of you. And just seriously, best of luck this weekend, bro.
Always rooting for you, dude.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Take care, brother. Shout out to my man, Julian Gresel.
Wow. Just to the Gresel family. We see you out here making the congong, the right, raspa.
I put an accent mark over his E.
Yeah, right? So, Gresel.
Right? So shout out to Julian. Look, again, best of luck to Columbus Crew.
I picked you guys to win, so go and enjoy.
It's going
to
be a good game nonetheless. I'm excited.
Hey, you know what you should do? You should count 100,000 at the sideline. Just to let LAFC know.
yo, we'll pay that for you. Yeah, we'll take care of you.
Let me know if you, I know you need the money down right now.
You seem to be struggling a little bit right now, okay? So, no.
You know what you do? You take LAFC's girl shopping. You know what I mean?
Really post flex. It on your Instagram stories.
Yeah, dog. Racks out, bro.
So yeah, MLS Cup is gonna be dope. December 11th, 4 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure that you watch that. All right, we got to get to your favorite segment, everybody's favorite segment, Tide 5.
Hey. Tide 5. We are back. Haven't done it the past few weeks. Tide 5 took a little break.
Yeah, we had some interviews.
Because we were off for Thanksgiving, and then we did the trivia challenge last week.
That's right.
We're back with a Tide 5. So we got 5 new topics just for everyone who doesn't know. 1 minute on each topic, going to ring the bell, and then you react with some jokes.
Let's go.
All right, so we got the first 5 for today. Number 1, Santos has been relegated from the Brazilian Serie A.
This is...
first time in 111-year history.
Bro, if you had literally over a century of success... and then you get relegated. I mean, it hurts because, and you can see we're looking at the face of one of the fans. If you're watching,
there's tears scrolling
down the broadcast of this was just literally one of the saddest things I've ever seen. I mean, they are absolutely, I mean, in shock, miserable.
Pelé played for this team. And Neymar played for this team.
But the announcer, yo, shout out to the Paramount Plus announcer because he was just like, yo, on the year that Pelé dies, the team. I'm like, bro, why are you bringing that? Bro,
making it heavy, bro.
You need to remind everybody.
Was that Andre Cordero? My guy needs to chill.
I could not believe it, dude.
All right, next one. Luis Suarez will be joining Inter Miami. Maybe he can get in on that new Genix commercial we've been pitching for the past few months.
Actually, there's been an update. You know what won't be joining him? His knees.
His knees are going to be staying in Brazil.
Staying in Brazil at the doctor's office. My guy, how many games, over under, how many games is Luis Suarez going to play?
Well, he just scored in his final game for Grêmio.
But he gets injections before every game, bro. I don't even think half them injections are legal in America.
You couldn't have paid me enough money to reveal that information that he revealed. The one where he said that he can't play with his kids because his knees are hurting too much. I'm like, yo, I am dying with that information. I'm not messing up the bag.
Yeah,
but nobody.
Exactly. Don't let them know until the contract is signed.
Yeah, I'm 38, but my knees are 16.
Yeah, no. I had them replaced. I had a clone built in Argentina. I'm good. Or Uruguay.
Not revealing that to anybody.
Damn, bro.
Bro.
Yo, your knees is dusty.
So it's going to look real bad on Inter Miami if he has an injury or misses games or whatever. Like, there has to be a... I don't know how much they're going to pay him necessarily. It may not be an incredible, insane investment.
He's just going to... I don't know. Let's all chew on it.
You got a few months to think about it. All right. Frank Lampard or Dean Smith have both been rumored to take the Charlotte FC job. We got more British people coming over to MLS, guys.
Bro... Dean Smith never played for NYCFC. Right.
He won't even be the most popular Dean Smith in North Carolina, bro. He'll never be the most popular.
Dean Smith don't know Jack Harrison, bro. We don't want you right here, dog.
So, look, this is an interesting move because Charlotte are in a little bit of, their time in Major League Soccer. Obviously, they qualified for the playoffs, but lost to Red Bull in the wild card. But then even just making the wild card, I'm like, oh, that's not that great. Like, no. You're not... nothing to flex about.
What we did the math. It's like 65% of the league gets in, bro. You ain't doing nothing that
so
impressive.
So I'm a little bit worried about Frank Lampard, even if he does get the job. There's also Robin Fraser and Freddy Juarez, assistant at Seattle, are also been
rumored. We ain't talking about them. Who would you prefer, Lampard or Dean Smith?
Out of those two, we know Lampard a little bit better.
Lampard is vibes, bro.
The vibes would be better, obviously, coming after leaving Everton and stuff like that.
Who's got a better Rolodex? Who's got better contacts in their phone?
Ooh.
Lampard,
probably.
All right, next one. Trent, your ass was out in the field, my guy. I don't know what you're doing.
He did this on purpose, too.
I don't even know. I'm not. Are we allowed to show? I mean, they show this on the broadcast, but can we show it on YouTube?
Yeah,
man.
Sometimes you got to air it out. You know what I mean?
It's just us two dudes next to a man's butt crack right now on YouTube.
And nothing wrong with that. Where is it? Is it over here? Look, the fact that they showed this on air is the funny part to me.
Yeah.
But bro, man, we've all had that, right? It's cold out there. I don't get it, but you know when it's hot, sometimes you gotta. You got a whole biodome back there.
I'm pretty sure there's no hot place in England.
No,
so
no. Well, there is one, and we're looking at it.
Okay,
it's probably warm in there.
But I mean, look, it's just Trent just double cheeked up on a Tuesday afternoon,
bro.
Just out here. All right,
he's Trent Alexander Arnold. A lot of people think his initials are TAA. It's actually BBL.
Okay,
I thought you were gonna say ASS. Yeah.
You know? Did you know his grandmother dated Sir Alex Ferguson?
I did hear that.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
So Alex Ferguson was watching this. He's like, damn, the whole family got out of that, huh?
Everybody caked up.
All right, last one. Christian, you're going to be very excited about this one. Junior Firpo has switched his national allegiance from Spain to the Dominican Republic.
Let's go. Vamos. Ojalá que llueva campeón el campo. Let's go.
Yo. Bro, CONCACAF is where it's at right now, huh?
Because this was we saw this is the tweet from Edgar Moreno, CONCACAF at CONCACAF Edgar on Twitter, and it says FIFA has officially approved Junior Firpo's switch from Spain to Dominican Republic. And then also in this tweet says, meanwhile, Mariano Diaz is in current talks over accepting a call-up from the upcoming camp. Let's go. Everybody's coming back.
For the Olympics.
Dominican Republic qualified for the Olympics, so they were going to be playing in Paris. And now the Dominicanos are like, okay, let's go. We get a free trip to Paris?
Yeah. Paris. Do we all get to go?
Okay. Parlez-vous. Que lo que, right?
Que lo vous. Que lo vous.
So,
de lo moi.
Let's go, ding, ding, everybody. Ding.
Hey, that's a tight five, folks.
Let's go. Shout out to Mark Norman closing out the show. All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Another hot episode of the Cooligans.
Another amazing.
Yeah, shout out. Episode. Enjoy, enjoy MLS Cup. Unfortunately, we have confirmed we cannot be there.
Yeah, we won't be able to be there, but we'll be there in spirit.
Yeah. Exactly.
Follow along on social media. We're going to be live tweeting, posting on Instagram a bunch. Like, just follow us this weekend. We got a ton of MLS Cup coverage.
Yes,
and let's tell them the truth. You guys are our fans. The reason we can't go is MLS has actually restricted our ability to go because they heard we were laughing too hard, which you can't do. You cannot
rules
do
that. Rules are rules, okay? Don Garber called us directly.
Yeah.
No. But the so MLS Cup, enjoy. Obviously, all the Columbus fans. I know there's been a lot of issues with tickets and problems. I think a bunch of I don't know if scalpers necessarily bought up a bunch of tickets and
of course
fans couldn't buy them. So I think this is
a step in the right direction for MLS. It was a time where the scalpers didn't even want this.
I can't give them.
I got 40. Do you want one? Will you take one, please?
There's the joke. I broke into the car and left a pair of jet tickets. It's kind of one of those things. So enjoy that, and I hope the Columbus Crew fans have a good time at home, as well as the LAFC fans with whatever restrictions you guys got to deal with, but enjoy. It's going to be a dope final. I will not be there, but I will be in DC at Tom's Watch Bar for a Bundesliga Super Match Day. So that morning, there will be on December 9th. If you're in DC, come out to Tom's Watch Bar. You can RSVP. I have the link on Twitter, on Instagram and stuff like that.
Go to this. This is going to be dope.
So I know there's already a couple people even in Gully Squad that are going to be coming through. So, if you're in DC and want to watch some Bundesliga in the morning, Tom's Watch Bar, come through. It starts at doors open at 8:30 a.m. All right. And as always, make sure you join the Patreon. Like the way fans had asked questions to Julian Gressel.
That's how you get access.
That's how you get. So patreon.com/soccer.
And there's some inexpensive options to join Gully Squad.
Go for it. All right. So we'll be back next week. Enjoy Wild Weekend in footy. So it should be fun. So we'll be back on Monday, doing more analysis. Everybody.
Oh, geez. We've just been fined $500,000 by MLS. Love you guys.
We'll see you there. Peace.